Congress may have handed the Veterans Affairs Secretary authority to fire underperforming senior executives when it reformed the VA a couple of months back, but it hasn't quite worked out that way. At least two executives faced with serious charges of malfeasance managed to retire, presumably with full annuities, before they could be fired. To explain all of this, in this week's Legal Loop segment, we turn to federal employment attorney John Mahoney. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So first of all, let's just go through a quick review of what it is that what authorities the VA secretary and I guess the undersecretary have under this new law.
Sure. The statute's called the Veterans Access to Care Through Choice, Accountability, and Transparency Act of 2014. And basically, it allows the Secretary of Veterans Affairs or his or her designee to remove an individual employee in a senior executive position at the Department of Veterans Affairs from the senior executive position or from the federal service for performance or misconduct by the individual if the secretary determines that that warrants a removal or a transfer.
So was there a loophole left in this? I mean, it speeds up the appeals process and so forth, and there's 7 days for the person to appeal. But do you think Congress intended for them to be able to, I guess, slip away and retire?
Well, this is pretty standard, actually, in the federal service. Any federal employee who's charged with misconduct can choose to resign or retire, if they're eligible, prior to facing the music, prior to receiving a decision on the proposed removal. The issue in this case is whether the Justice Department, in response to one of the executives' decision to retire on October 14th, could still determine whether or not they want to prosecute that person.
Well, because we're talking about the case of Susan Taylor, the procurement executive.
Exactly.
And she, I guess the IG had referred her case to Justice Department, which declined to take any prosecutorial action against her. So what could happen at this point?
Well, the way it works is an IG or any other criminal investigator who's investigating potential criminal charges, as in Ms. Taylor's case, is supposed to, and VA acted appropriately here, by going to justice and presenting the charges and allowing the U.S. attorney in the district to make a decision whether or not to prosecute. If the U.S. attorney, as he did in this instance, declines criminal prosecution, then the IG goes to the employee and provides them what are called Calkins warnings, meaning that they're obligated to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth regarding their alleged administrative misconduct. Their answers cannot be used against them criminally unless they lie to the investigators. There is an accusation in Ms. Taylor's case that she did, in fact, lie in her Calkins warning to the IG. So in theory, you know, they could go back to justice with that false statement. It's called a false statement in a matter of official interest, which is a federal felony under 18 U.S.C. Section 1001. So even though she's retired, oftentimes the prosecutorial discretion is exercised in favor of taking the person's job as sufficient punishment rather than prosecuting them. In this instance, because she retired before they actually fired her, and there's evidence in the IG's investigation that she may not have been completely truthful in their Calkins investigation, their administrative investigation of her, IG could go back to justice and present that false statement charge, and justice could reconsider and decide that, you know, she did not receive sufficient punishment because she did retire, and therefore justice is going to prosecute on the false statement charge, at least, if not the other, you know, contracting fraud issues.
Just to make a ridiculous analogy, if someone commits murder while they're on the job and then retires when people come after them, they're still subject to criminal prosecution. So in this case, the crime wasn't murder, thank God, but it was lying allegedly to the IG.
Exactly, and among other things. I mean, IG presented to justice a lot of potential criminal charges. You know, the procurement fraud, the way the procurements were being made, her personal interest in the outcome of the procurement with regard to the particular company involved. Allegedly, this is all allegations, of course. Nothing's been proven. But justice, as it typically does in situations where they believe that, you know, taking the person's federal employment is sufficient punishment so as to not have to use the resources to actually prosecute the person, will often decline prosecution in favor of the agency, the employing agency, taking disciplinary action, in this case, you know, a removal or a transfer out of the SCS. The VA followed its internal policies that have been enacted since the statute came into place to give her a proposed 5-day window of opportunity to respond in writing and orally to the proposed removal before it made the decision. And during that 5-day notice period, which I believe VA instituted for due process reasons, she decided to retire or resign. And that's, you know, as I said at the outset, is always an option for federal employees who are faced with discipline. If they, you know, believe that it's not worth fighting it or they're not going to be able to be successful, you know, federal employees can retire or they can resign. Once they do that, if they do that, the employing agency will code their SF-50, their resignation SF-50, which is put in their electronic official personnel file, to state that they resigned in lieu of misconduct allegations and may well explain what the allegations were. So it will follow them. You know, if she tried to get another federal job or, you know, frankly, any other job, you know, that information could be disclosed to potential employers.
We're speaking with federal labor attorney John Mahoney. And so this 5-day period that the VA put in, that's not required in the law, right? That's a VA procedure?
That's right. It was not required in the law. There was no specific requirement in the statute that the agency give the SCS or at issue any proposed notice. And in fact, I think that policy may cut against what the intent of Congress was, which was to simply, you know, make a decision whether to remove or transfer the person and issue that decision and then allow the SCSer 7 calendar days to file a Merit System Protection Board appeal and 21 days thereafter to have a hearing as to whether the agency can prove by preponderant evidence that the employee engaged in the misconduct or the performance that caused the, you know, the removal or the transfer. VA, through an administrative, you know, determination by the administration, decided to be extra cautious by giving an additional process than what was due under that statute, i.e. the 5 days advance notice of a proposed removal, the opportunity to respond in writing and orally prior to a written decision on the proposal. I think that's probably a smart move because, you know, the Constitution requires that a federal employee's property interest in their continued federal employment should not be taken away without due process of law. So I think the agency and the administration ultimately made the right choice by providing that additional process that was not set forth in the statute.
So even if that law had not been passed, given what she was accused of doing, which is pretty serious, it's, you know, I mean, I think there's summary dismissal provisions for people that bring a gun to work or come to work drunk and this kind of thing, or very serious situations. Probably, I mean, it's likely, I think it's fair to speculate that VA would have likely made this move without that law being in place, so that save for when it hits the Merit Systems Protection Board, everything happened as it would have happened before the law.
That's probably true in this instance. The allegations certainly seem serious enough and broad enough, frankly, to support a removal either under the current statute or even under the, you know, Title V of the U.S. Code, which was the precursor to the new statute. You know, Title V and Title 31 for VA medical professionals provided an appeals process in and of themselves for folks who, you know, who were removed or otherwise faced an adverse action in their employment. And, you know, it seems to me, on the face of what the IG is alleging, that she would have been removed even under those two statutes.
And if someone is pushed out or pushed into retirement or chooses retirement in that way, is their annuity in any danger, even if there is a prosecution?
Usually they don't go after the annuity unless there's allegations of espionage or, you know, serious felonies. So it's possible, again, as I said, because of the alleged false statement in the matter of official interest after she was given, I'm assuming she was given a Calkins warning in the IG investigation to make her talk. You know, either way, whether she got Garrity or Calkins, she talked and allegedly was not truthful in her statements to the IG. IG could go back to justice and try to get them interested in prosecuting her for the false statement, among other alleged crimes. And although it may not impact her annuity, it could ultimately impact her freedom.
All right. Well, we'll have to see how that one goes. John Mahoney is a federal employment attorney. John, great having you on.
Thank you, Tom.